Well, tonight we're going to go back into our teaching on being filled with the Holy Spirit, which really is a command that Jesus Christ made. We've been looking in the areas of tongues, why we pray in tongues, the purpose of tongues. We've been talking about those. It's one that we had talked about before, but I'm going to, in this area, I want to talk about it again. About praying in tongues, we alluded to it a number of times. We want to specifically, we talk about it, look at scriptural references and things, because it's so important that it's not enough to be able to just say to somebody, I believe this. We need to know why we believe, why scripturally we believe what we say. Too many people, you know, most of Christianity has beliefs, but have no idea where the beliefs ever came from. And they will tell you that things that are in the Bible, sometimes they may be correct, but they have no clue where it's at, or they really don't know, per se. Most people are just giving off in the information. And is one thing about it, if, you know, so many people sit down and argue over the Bible. I've never had much trouble with people arguing me over the Bible, because as soon as you start going, I can take them to scriptures, they quit arguing and don't want to talk about it anymore, because they don't know where any scriptures are. They don't know what anything, they have all these beliefs. But they don't know where they're at. And sometimes I found out they didn't know where they're at because they didn't exist. But you want to know where things are. One of the things that we're talking about here is because we talked about before that tongues really is the introduction to the gifts of the Spirit. And this is why I believe that the devil really works so hard in getting people to stay away from tongues. Because if the devil can keep the church away from tongues, it will keep the church away from the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. And the devil's done very well at it. And, you know, it's very interesting because when I came into the kingdom, the charismatic renewal, you know, everybody that the Spirit-filled people were very open and just blatant about their tongues. And, you know, that was the thing, and they talked about it. And we had a lot of manifestations of the Spirit. And I just watched over time as it slowly dwindled away. People moved away from it, and you saw the gifts of the Spirit slowly start disappearing, not happening. And that's one of the reasons that it doesn't take place. Now, we want to, when we go over, and it's something that we want to look at, and we talk about praying in tongues, many people associate tongues that we get when we're baptized with the Holy Ghost, they associate it with the gifts of the Spirit tongues, and it's not what it's talking about. When we look at 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, there are gifts of the Spirit. And we want to, I just want to read to you here. I mean, I said 11th, I mean 12th chapter. What am I talking about? Where am I looking at? Let me see here. I want to start. Verse 7, I'll start there. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit's given to each one for the profit at all. And he's talking about manifestations. I like that term. Because a manifestation is probably a better than the idea of the term used as gift. In the opening of the chapter, the 12th chapter in verse 1, the term gifts is used there, but actually that gift word there is italicized. That was not in the original Greek. That was added by the translators trying to describe something. As we go down through and dealing with the word, because we do find out that it does talk about gifts, but the word gift there is not, it's not the same Greek word as the word gift is, like, say, salvation as being a gift. It's not something that you have. And we need to understand there's a difference because of what we'll read through here in these gifts. So he said there's gifts, and it says, for to one he has given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. So that's one of the gifts. It says, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another faith of the same Spirit. To another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another different kinds of tongues. To another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And so the distribution of gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit does not operate at the will of the individual. So we can know this, that when Paul was writing about tongues in the 14th chapter, he's not talking about the same thing here. This is a ministry gift of tongues. This is tongues that is used in a service where there's tongues and then the interpretation of tongues. That's why they use the thing here and they put in the word they have here, and put in different kinds of tongue, or actually the word different there is, in the New King James. I'm not sure I can't remember what the King James says, but the New King James says different kinds of tongues. Actually, it means kinds of tongues. It speaks of tongues, in other words, different than your regular tongue that you got when you got filled with the Holy Ghost. These are different kinds of tongues, the manifestation, and these are the ones that, through these demonstration of tongues, you will find at times it does happen where individuals, we'll talk about later on, where a person gets through tongues, like on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in kinds of tongues and they heard them in their own language. And it was they name all the different nations that were there. In other words, when they spoke in tongues, they heard them in all these different languages. So that was a supernatural manifestation, but that was ministry for ministry. That was they were ministering to people. People were hearing this. Your regular tongues is not that. It don't happen like that with your regular tongues. So this gift here is a ministry gift of tongues it's talking about here in the gifts of the Spirit. So, but we want to be able to operate in these manifestations because we want to be open to the Holy Spirit when He wants to manifest them. We don't control their manifestation. The Holy Spirit does. But one of the reasons or one of the problems that we face is this. I guess most people, have an idea or a thought that if a gift is going to manifest, it's going to be some kind of thing. I'll just know it or there'll be I'll have a certain type of feeling, or I'll have, you know. Well, that isn't the way it works. I've operated in gifts. Now, sometimes I've had a very strong anointing come on me and had a sense of a certain things, but that is the unusual. That is not the norm. Usually, it is, I just get a sense in my spirit. It's no kind of feeling. It's nothing of that. Just inside, I sense to do or to say a certain thing. And when I do, then an anointing may come to do something. But it does not happen until that takes place. And this is why it's so important to praying in other tongues is why it's the key. Because tongues, as we've been studying about it, has to do with building ourselves up the inner man, your spirit. And you want to become sensitive in your inner man. Because that's where the key, because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He ain't living in your head. He's not living in your feelings. He's not living in any of those places. He's living in your spirit. He communes with your spirit. And if you are not sensitive to His unction on the inside of you, you will probably not ever move over in these areas to these gifts. Now, we find that these manifestations are not for just preachers. These manifestations are through every individual within the body. So, as the Holy Spirit decides to divide them. And so, I personally believe that any manifestation of any gift could operate through any individual. You know, it is that some people, you know, like, well, you know, I have this certain gift. A person may have a certain gift that operates through them a little bit more. One of the things, though, that we need to understand, there's a difference between these gifts and special anointings. There's ministers, a lot of ministers operate under special anointings and not under these gifts as much. Like if you take like Benny Hinn operates under a special healing anointing. It's not gifts of the Spirit. He's not operating under gifts of the Spirit. It's special anointing. And you'll find him. Kenneth Hagin operated under special anointing. He had a special anointing for healing. And that's different than the gifts of the Spirit. That's different. God uses an individual in a certain way. But we need to know that gifts of the Spirit, understand this, these gifts are given. So we know if the Holy Spirit uses these gifts to manifest, really, Jesus Christ to people. That's what He does. And that's the purpose of it. And one of the things we want to grow up spiritually, and praying in tongues can be very helpful to growing up spiritually, help us become more spirit conscious than body conscious and mind conscious. Because the Holy Spirit does not manifest these gifts to make you a big deal so people think you're really something. See, a lot of people want gifts to operate through them, but really for wrong reasons. it's more about them. Well, you know, I want people to see, you know, what I'm doing and what it, that's not what it does. In fact, that'll short circuit the thing. You want to, these gifts are specifically to manifest through an individual, through a spirit-filled believer to help other people. It's not for you. It's not for to draw attention to you. Although it will probably bring attention to you, but it's not forced. You have to be very careful in these areas. People get over in these areas and God operates through them. They get a little big-headed. After a while, God quits operating through them. And so you don't want to do that. You want to keep yourself. These are to bless people. These gifts operate through the church. Jesus Christ told Kenneth Hagin this. He said, I did not put gifts in the spirit of the gifts of the Spirit in the church or gifts of healings in the church to heal Christians. He said, Christians are supposed to believe my word and they can get healed any old time they want to. They don't have to wait for a gift of the Spirit. Most of the church world is waiting for somebody with a special anointing, somebody with gifts. So they're waiting for that. Jesus said a Christian can get healed any time he wants to. They're supposed to believe the word. He said these gifts are to reach unbelievers. That's what they're for. God manifests through a Christian. Why? Because the world doesn't have a covenant. They can't just get healed anytime they want to. Why? They don't have a covenant. Even though the covenant exists, you've got to enter it through Jesus Christ. So you can have it any time. As a Christian, we can be healed any time. And this is why praying in tongues is so important, because of getting ourselves in the areas where we become spiritually sensitive. So things that God wants to do, the Holy Spirit wants to manifest Himself, you know, in any way that He wants to do it. And we read there where it said, but one and the same Spirit works all these, distributing each one individually as He wills. So these gifts or these manifestations of the Spirit are through us as the Spirit wills. And I had said this before, so no one can say specifically, I have this gift, because it isn't from that perspective. God may operate, God operates through me, like from the time that I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge started operating through me. Probably the most predominant gift that started off through me would start operating. It always has, all through my Christian walk. There's things that I would know, and things in that step would come through word of wisdom or a word of knowledge that I would have. Things about future, some things. Those things just started operating through me. But they didn't operate as I will. You know, it's when the Holy Spirit, they may have operated more predominantly through me, and I believe has to do with the office that I was called to, because of learning to develop in them. I can't imagine. I've talked to pastors and they say, well, they don't have those gifts. I've just say, well, if you don't, I don't understand how you minister to people. I got a clue. Because all you're stuck with is your stupid mind. You're in big trouble. I found this. Most spiritually in tune pastors operate in word of wisdom, word of knowledge, usually operates because, really, I don't understand how you administer to people. I really don't know. You got to know stuff, or you know, you're just shot in the dark. I mean, it's just like, well, let's try this. You got to have better than that. So you will find these. The gifts will operate through us to enhance what we're called to do. So understand it. I believe anybody could have any gift operate at any time. Could. But you will find in things that God calls you to, you will find that certain gifts may be more predominant, would operate through you than others. And so like in those areas, that's where the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge were always just, they were ones that operated through me, you know, all the time. In fact, I found out and it still is. Sometimes I just walk up and touch up. Once I touch a person, then I'll start knowing something. Now, it's interesting because, I mean, sometimes I don't have to touch a person and I know things. But generally, usually when I'm ministering, I don't know what's going on. As soon as I walk up and I touch a person, all of a sudden things come to me. All of a sudden I just know stuff. Now, it's not for me to know. It's to minister the person. You know things so you can minister the person. So it's done from that standpoint. But understand this. I believe those kinds of things could operate through anybody. I believe anybody at any time could be minister to somebody. They don't have to be a minister, you know, a preacher. And they would, you know, ministering to somebody, something like that would go into operation. I found out the word of wisdom, really the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, are lots of times far superior to gifts of healings. You know, you can get somebody healed with gifts of healings and go ahead and work. But I found out this. You don't get people over and get them to you know, learn anything spiritually, and they'll be sick again in no time. But through the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, you can find out things about a person that need corrected in their life to bring them over so you keep the devil out of their lives. And that's what you want to do. So it's like, you know, a lot of people look at some of these gifts. I found out, you know, that some of the other gifts, many times I had manifestations of other gifts, and they operated through, first of all, the word of wisdom and word of knowledge took place, and because of them, then one of the other gifts went into manifestation. And so we want to do that, but there's one thing about it. Praying in other tongues is keeping yourself sensitive in your spirit to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. That's really the important part, is doing that. Taking the time to spend your time praying in other tongues. And because one of the people, and I've said this before, who have gotten filled with the Holy Spirit, and you really can't blame people, but they got filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's just where it stopped and ended. They never did anything beyond that point. And a lot of ministers and churches never told anybody to do anything else. You know? And so really what happens is this. If a person got filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues, and doesn't pray in other tongues or ever yield themselves over into that, it's really not much worth even being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's almost useless. I'm serious. It will not produce a thing. It won't produce anything in your life. It doesn't do anything. Because really, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is this. It's manifestations of power. That's what it's about. Baptism of the Holy Ghost is manifestations of power, and not for you, but for others. That's what it's for. So if you come through the door and you don't want to pray in tongues or do anything like that, mostly you're not going to do much of anything, and you're just going to be, you know, like the guy who goes to the church and don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't do any good to believe something. You know, as I came in the kingdom, all these people, oh, we believe God heals, but ain't nobody was getting healed. I started out in a church that was in the God sent me to, told me to go help this pastor start this church. So I went there and I started doing, I got this church. These people were spirit-filled, knew nothing about what spirit-filled was. They just did. It was charismatic renewal. People got filled with the Holy Ghost. They were as dumb as a stick about it. And talking about gifts of the Spirit and stuff, they'd talk about these things and that stuff. But I mean, they were all sick and messed up, everything else. Nothing was working for them. And you come in among them, I mean, they're all sitting around and they have all this. This is what God has given, but nobody has any information on any, and people didn't know how to flow in it or walk in it or do anything with it. You know, they'd talk about, oh, we have authority over the devil. And literally, the devil ran many of them's lives. I mean, he just kept them bound all the time and in trouble, but they didn't know anything about what to do with it, you know. They hadn't been taught about it, of what to do, so they didn't know. And in many, many instances, their church was very much like a church that was not spirit-filled, that was not. And so, and all because it is, a lot of it is people don't get over and pray in tongues. They don't ever get over. It's one way is I can always get over into the Spirit. If I'll spend time praying in other tongues, I can get over in the Spirit. If I can get over and get hooked up to the Holy Ghost the teacher, I'm going to learn something. I'm going to learn something. That's one of the things that I, as a young Christian, and I started out, you know, people ask you, how did you gain so much knowledge? People used to ask me, how did you learn all these different things? How did you learn? A lot of stuff, I listened to teachers and stuff, good teachers. There's a ton of stuff that I learned. Right in my bedroom, praying in other tongues, had my Bible there, and the Holy Spirit would speak to me and tell me to go to certain things in the Bible. He'd send me the books. I was a young Christian. I didn't even know the books existed. I didn't know some of them were in there in the Bible, you know? And I'd have to go back to the place to find out if that book was really there. And I'd get looked at, oh, it is, you know, page such and such. I'd turn it, and there it is. And I would turn through. These things would come up inside of me, and I'd just go to them. And God started to teach me. God taught me things about the end times, the coming of Christ, that I sit and I listen to people talk about that stuff, and I knew, I had enough sense to know, just reading general things in the Bible, that most people didn't have a clue what they were talking about, because they had used scriptures that, you know, saying stuff, and I think, well, I know enough that scripture's not saying what they said it says. I knew it didn't. And I got over with the Lord, and I said, Lord, I said, I ain't listening to anybody else teach on the end times. I said, I'm tired of it. I said, I ain't looking at it. I said, man, it's crazy. And I made a statement to him. I said this. I said, they got 20 different ways, you know, how Jesus is coming or ain't coming or whatever. He said, they got 20 different ideas about the end times. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, yeah, 19 of them ain't right either. And so, really, I started learning about end times. I got over praying in other tongues, never studying about end times. But I'd be over praying in tongues, studying other stuff. I would do it just spend time in my bedroom praying. One day, out of the clear blue, I wasn't even looking in that direction. The Lord all of a sudden started showing me things about the end times. Took me, the Bible started showing me stuff in Scripture. I thought, my God, these people say they read the Bible. They don't ever see nothing. This stuff's all in here. And you know, people are saying all kinds of stuff. And it was the first time that I really... So I went along. For a number of years, I never heard anybody ever teach things that I saw in the Bible. Not the end time. I never saw anybody teach. And I didn't teach it or nothing because I didn't. Like, whoa, you see this stuff? Nobody else said. I went to Rhema. I heard different people teach, started to touch into some of these things. And after a while, I ran into some people that started teaching on some of these things. I thought, my God, that's what God showed me back there when I was a baby Christian. I was back there just praying in tongues. You know, He wanted to show me some stuff. And so, and that's why you want to get over, spend time, become spiritually in tune. You as a Christian, you and I can sit down and read this Bible. This Bible is full of the guidelines of what to do about things and following God and things. But we need to understand, you need specifics. If you don't become spiritually in tune, you're not going to know specifics about your own life. You got to hear that from heaven. You can't get that some other way. You look in here, you know, you might have your, you know, somebody might have named your first name after somebody in the Bible, but you can't follow what you're supposed to do because, you know, your name's Mark. You got to find out. Ed Gibson ain't even in the pages there. I never found nobody named Ed. When you get around looking at it, if you want to find out, you have to get over there and start finding out. And this is how to just find out what God wants you to do. And that's what comes down to the personal relationship with God. And really that comes down from developing in your inner man. And that's where praying in tongues is hugely, hugely important. That's why we want to go back over and spend more time doing that, because really, if we're going to flow with what God wants to do and the manifestations of the Spirit, because as a believer, you need manifestations of the Spirit. I mean, if we're going to, there's too much of the church world today, they just go out and tell you, Jesus loves you and this and that, you know. Anybody can tell me anything. I mean, we run around the world here and everybody's talking, you know, we're talking about peace, love, joy, all this kind of stuff around in the world. Yeah, and the ones that say it, they ain't got none of it, nor neither do they do it, you know. I mean, you cross them and that peace, love, and joy, they'll kill you in a minute. And, it's one of the things, the manifestations of the Spirit demonstrate that Jesus Christ is alive. You can sit and tell people Jesus is alive. You know, you could tell them Ed Gibson's alive and they'd say, who's he? Hey, it's no different telling them Jesus is alive and, well, who's he? You prove it. And this is one of the things, it's not enough to give them words. It's not enough to give people words. The manifestations of the gifts are for that purpose, is to demonstrate to people. It's myself. One of the things it is, I got born again. I mean, too, is listening to Kenneth Hagin's teachings and stuff, but I just expected that God would show up if I would go after it. And I found this out is after I got born again that most people have no expectation of that whatsoever. That it's just another religion. It's like Buddhism or whether Hinduism or you know, whatever. It's just about words on a page. And many people say, I believe the Bible. Yes, they believe words on the page. They believe this existed at one time. But they have no more expectation of faith that any of this is ever going to take place in their life. They don't have any expectation of it. And they've sat in churches for years. And they'll sit there and quote you the Scriptures. But there's no expectation in their life that any of it's real. I remember Kenneth Hagin, the first when I started off, he used to say things like, you know, that people, yeah, well, they believe that on paper. And I didn't quite know what he was talking about at first, but now I understand it totally. That most of the church world believes the Bible on paper. That's it. Christians live and die believing in the Bible on paper. But it is not a heart belief where they really expect God to manifest Himself to them. And see, I found that out, you know, just like myself, when I was Before I got born again, I was involved in sorcery. And you could see it, and I said, told you guys about four. I found it even among people over in the areas of the world. The devil don't manifest for, like, you know, that people would like to see it, even among the people who worship Satan or whatever else they do. He manifests for people who believe it. That's the way the spirit world operates. That's why a lot of Christians have more faith than the devil showing up and doing something. Oh my God, you get around Christians, and my God, the devil's showing up in a manifestation of the devil. Oh yeah, the devil's doing something. God, we got to pray night and day, try to get him to do something. We got to do all kinds of things, try to get God to show up. You know, the great faith that the devil, I mean, the devil would show up and do something. And I found out that you had to operate in the areas of faith. And when I came over to the kingdom, it was pretty easy for me because, you know, it was a matter of the fact, hey, you believe this stuff, you start acting like you believe it, and things happen. And that's the way it works. As many people talk about God, but they never act like they believe it. And that's why, is to become spiritually sensitive. God's given this this gift where it says we can build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So take time and pray in other tongues. Hallelujah. You know, make the right confessions about it. Say it's building me up. Not I'm over here praying, wondering if, gee, am I really doing anything? You keep thinking like that, and after a while you'll start saying that. And after a while, you'll just quit praying in tongues, and the devil won. That's what he wants you to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, we want to look at some things. Because there are some areas of misconceptions about the baptism of the Holy Ghost itself and speaking in other tongues. There are some misconceptions. There are groups out here that do teach and say that if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues, you're not saved. There are groups that do that. We need to be very careful about this because you get people around, they say these things, very misguided. We want to look at, you know, we'll look at some of these things. There's also, among these too, there's people. In fact, I found this. You'll find that certain times of teachings and things, like right now, this kind of stuff is starting to come around again. If the devil can't keep you away from spiritual things, he'll pervert spiritual things. That's what he does. And so I'm finding out these doctrines are starting to come back. In fact, a really good minister friend of mine come up to me and started talking to me about it, and he got over now believing that if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, when Jesus comes, you're not going to go. And I mean, and then he told me why he believed it. And I just told him, I said, if you believe that way, then you have to believe that you're going to go through the tribulation. He said, I don't believe I'm going through the tribulation. I said, the scriptures that you just quoted me are for people. I said, the Bible specifically lets us know it's through the tribulation period. So I said, you can't have it both ways, buddy. But you know what happened? You know, then he's still believing that way. It's amazing. I mean, people get over. No, he's a Rhema graduate and everything else. I mean, but they get over and they get into a doctrine and they get themselves hooked on it. Next thing you know, they're over in a stupidity. And you even show them the Bible and that ain't enough no more. Well, I got this guy. Boy, he's been around years and he knows. Well, no, he don't know. I don't care how long they've been around. If you're going to talk against the Bible, I don't care how long you've been around. It ain't listening to you. We ain't going there. But we want to talk about it. We used these scriptures before because you need to know this because people will run into this thing. And sometimes that's why people don't want to listen to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They want to listen about it because people have come along with these kinds of things and said them. So what they've done is they've almost got people not to want to listen to certain things. They don't want to listen to certain stuff. And you have to be able to answer questions for people. We talked before and used in John the 14th chapter, which, you know, specifically tells us there in John the 14th chapter. And this is Jesus talking. And that's why, you know, if you get what Jesus says, I don't care what anybody else has said on the subject. If Jesus makes a statement about a certain thing, we're going to stick with Jesus. And that's where Jesus said in verse 16, he said, I'll pray the Father, he'll give you another helper. He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So he's telling them there, the Holy Spirit is a gift given to those who are really a believer. The world can't get it. In other words, the world cannot The world can't receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is important because during the charismatic renewal, I saw this stuff go on and people do. Don't ever, and listen, don't ever minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit to a person till you know they're born again. Because I will guarantee you this, they can. They're a non-Christian. The Christian is guaranteed. Jesus said by his children, he's concerning them, how much more the Father would give them the Holy Spirit if they ask. But people who aren't God's children have no guarantee. Number one, they can't receive the Holy Spirit. They're not born again. But they can receive a spirit. You do never... Never. I don't care if a person goes to a church. I don't care how long they've been in a church. I don't care if they've been saying for 47 years they're a Christian. You want to know for sure that they're being born and they've been born again. Loads of people sit in churches, say they're Christians, have never been born again. Nice, good people, but have never been born again. And you want to know that. Do they believe in the new birth? You'll find loads of people. Christians don't believe in the new birth. I got this religion, I'm a nice person. No, you need to be born again. If a person is born again, they don't have any kind of fear or worry about the fact of receiving the Holy Spirit. They're not going to get something else. But you do not need to be filled with the Spirit to be a child of God. You first got to become a child of God to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You first become a child of God. And, you know, it's like myself. I got born again, and surely I know I got born again. I mean, Wanda knew I got born again. I tell you what, I tried new leaves in life to turn those over. I tried those at times. They last a good 15, 20 minutes. I'd be a pretty good person, you know. You know, I'd just really be a nice person for, you know, and probably that was about it, too. And Wanda just never paid any attention. But Wanda could tell in my life when I got born again, I wasn't filled with the Spirit immediately. I got born again. And there was an absolute change in my life. Because why? I was born again. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not the proof of the new birth. No, your salvation, your born again experience is what is your proof. You get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Baptism of the Holy Ghost is ministry to others. That's what it's for. That's why the baptism, you know, you got to become ministry minded if you want the baptism to work. I'm going to do something, I just want to be a nice Christian and just, you know, do around and go. I'm just going to go on vacation a lot and believe God for motorhomes or something. You have no need of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's absolutely zero need for it. That's not what it's for. Baptism of the Holy Ghost is for ministry. And that's why you start off, the new birth is about getting us fixed. Then the baptism is to help us get others fixed. That's what it's for. So you start off, you want the new birth. It was just like Wanda could tell that, you know, that I had gotten the new birth. She could tell that. It's just like with Wanda, you know, when she got saved, I could surely tell a difference in Wanda when she got saved. She wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, but I knew that I was a child of God. She knew that she was a child of God. I know that I'm a child of God by the witness of the Spirit. You don't know you're a child of God because you got baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you didn't know you were a child of God before that, you probably wouldn't have enough sense to believe God to get filled with the Holy Ghost anyhow. If you got filled with the Holy Ghost, it was all out of God's total mercy of your stupidity. You know. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. That's what the new birth is. That's the new birth. And you knew that you were a child of God. You knew you accepted Christ. You're born again. And so, you know, if anybody's trying to talk some other thing to you, you know, you need to be very careful. You know, when Paul talked to people, we had looked at it in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, when Paul talked about the uninformed person coming in the meeting. An uninformed person was a Christian who was uninformed about spiritual things, didn't know what the baptism was about. He didn't say that they were unbelievers. He said there was the uninformed and there was the unbeliever. The two different types of people come in. And so for the person who was uninformed, in other words, that's a believer, they're born again, they're a child of God, but they're uninformed about spiritual things, dealing with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so those individuals, God still, you know, are children of God. They are born again. I had asked this individual who said to me about, you know, that he said, well, he believes you're not going to go with Jesus. I said, let me just ask you a question. I said, do you believe in deathbed, conversions? People get born again on their deathbed. He said, oh, yeah, yeah. I said, in other words, a guy could be just a real heathen. But on his deathbed, he accepts Jesus Christ. He'll make it to heaven. But I said, you're going to tell me that some guy that down here that was born again, didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost, but lived a godly life as much as he knew, as understood under that, and lived a godly life, and Jesus comes, he's going to let him here and let that scumbag that just one night accept you, and he gets to go to heaven. But this guy got to stay down here in the tribulation? I said, if he does that, I said, I'm going to tell you what, when I get to heaven, Jesus and I are going to have a big argument. Because I don't want to be with that guy. I don't want to be hanging around because he ain't no good. He ain't honest. I said, is that your Lord? I said, man. I said, I think you're going to the wrong place. So you got to really, people get over. They don't, they don't think 2 minutes. Yeah, they get over in their little things. And I don't know what happens is, we want to develop and grow, but we don't want to get over and have this superiority attitude that, God likes me best. And what about you? We're not sure. And it becomes this, and really, whether the guy really needs it or not, he's a wonderful brother, but if he stays in this stuff, he'll end up in an elitism. And you don't want to go there because I tell you what, the devil's there. You don't want to go into that elitism stuff. You know, we may know more about things or certain things of spirit than maybe some other group knows, but none of, children of God are children of God. If a guy's born again, he's born again, he's a child of God. And he will be in heaven. And when Jesus comes, I don't find any reason why he would not go. I can't find any scriptural reason for that. So, and I said before, about the fact that Jesus said in Luke, the 11th chapter, verse 11, he said about a son asked for bread and any father among you, will he give him, he said, a stone? Or he asked as for a fish, will he give him a serpent? He said, instead of a fish, or if he asked for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? He said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so, in other words, he's talking about first being his children. He's talking about being his children. You got to first become a child of God. So a person who is born again, who accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, is a child of God. Hallelujah. So, praise God. We want to keep ourselves walking in the light of these things. But be careful in the areas. Always make sure that if a person wants to be filled with the Spirit, that they are born again. Make sure that a person's accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And because it's one thing. If they did, then the gift of the Holy Spirit is something they're not trying to get God to give them. It's something God has already offered, that any time that one of his children want it, they can have it. See, so many people, I've seen among groups sometimes of getting filled with the Holy Ghost, they almost treat people like you have to arrive to some spiritual place to be able to have the Holy Spirit. No, you ain't going to arrive to very much of a spiritual place if you can't get it. If I can attain spirituality without it, well then who needs it? I never understood the teachings that people do on that stuff. So it is a gift that is automatically given. So when a person, in other words, any individual who gets born again, God is waiting for them to receive the Holy Spirit. That's all they have to do. They have to receive it. That's it. He's not going to say, hey, God, give it to me. No, the Holy Spirit's already given. All they have to do is receive it. It's a gift for God's children. And that's wonderful. But is understand, they're still a child of God, whether they receive it or not. They're a child of God. So sometimes you might run into some people who have had problems in those areas. Is that kind of stuff turns people off. It'll turn people off to the Spirit. One of the things I want to talk about, because I said the individuals using the things, in Matthew, when people make statements concerning the Holy Spirit and things like, when they say, well, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to go when Jesus comes, and you know, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, and people make these kinds of statements, and when they do these things, I mean, this kind of stuff really brings great confusion on people. So I want to make sure I have the right here, the one it does. In the Matthew in the 25th chapter, we'll look at this, Matthew in 25, because dealing with this, is people come along and say, well, you know, Jesus comes. And if you look here, they have the, in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, it's the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. And we need to understand this is what this parable is about. This parable is not about the baptism of the Holy Spirit to begin with. It's not a parable about it. This parable is given, and I want you to understand something, this parable, when it's talking about the oil in this, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is never in reference to light. That's the new birth. The Holy Spirit in the new birth is about light. It's about coming to the light. That's what it's about. Walking in light, or the new birth. So walking in the light is always dealing in the areas with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptism is never in reference to a lamp burning. It never was, never has been. In the temples in Jerusalem, now remember this, this was told to Jews. This is spoken to Jews. They had candles that burnt in the holy place. Those candles. Those candles were never in reference to baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's not what they represented. And so, when they're talking about this, here, I'm not going to read down through it, but what, you know, this thing goes on and talks about the bridegroom, the bridegroom coming, who it is in reference to Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand this. This is the reference of Jesus Christ's second advent to the earth. Jesus Christ comes for the church. It is not the second advent. Jesus Christ doesn't come and step onto the earth. The church meets Jesus in the air. Jesus does not set foot on the earth. When the church, you will find no references in Scripture when Jesus comes to the earth, comes for the church, that he steps on the earth. There is zero reference. So when people say, well, I believe we're going through the tribulation, I always find that those people are tribulating all the time anyhow. So, and why? Because of their crazy beliefs. Jesus Christ returns for the church. He's not, the people use the reference. The Bible uses references concerning the church, deals with marriage and things like that, talks about our relationship with Jesus. But we're not to Jesus Christ per se as an actual wife is to a husband. We're children of God. It uses, these references are used in the Scripture of us as a reference of a union in relationship as being one with one another. And it's supposed to bring us the idea that we're one with Christ. It's not as a married that he's my husband and I'm the wife. That's not what it is. It's not like a relationship from that standpoint. There's things about a husband and wife's relationship that is for us as believers in the earth that we can identify our position and things with it. And so we need to understand when we see these terminologies used, it's not literal. None of these relationships are literal. It's not talking about literally. It's this way. The Bible says we're seated in heavenly places on Christ. The Bible talks about us as being Christ. It refers to us as children of God. It don't turn around and say, you know, we're the bride of God or from that standpoint. It doesn't refer to us as that. We're children of God. And so us being in Christ Jesus, the reference of using the relationship between a husband and wife is something that God used all back concerning Israel. He talked about Israel. He talked about Israel as being his wife in the Old Testament. But Israel wasn't born again. They didn't even have the relationship that we got. So it isn't really referring to as actually being a husband and wife. It's talking about how relationship works. In other words, there's things from the union of a husband and wife that we could see certain things about relationship between God and man. But it's not didn't make us a wife of God and him a literal husband. That's not what it is. And so people get this stuff messed up. But one of the things we need to understand in dealing with this is because the 24th chapter, the chapter before that, that whole chapter deals with, now remember this, the Bible was not written in chapter and verse. So when one chapter ends and another chapter starts, that was man's idea. And many times we read the Bible that way, and this is why people don't understand the Bible. Because they break things down in chapters and verses. this dissertation that Jesus did, all this stuff that Jesus said and all this red letter stuff, that was one discourse. He didn't break it up and tell people different things about different stuff. The 24th chapter of Matthew is talk. That whole chapter is talking about during the time of the tribulation. It's the tribulation. In fact, one part of it starts up the Great Tribulation, verse 15. It deals with all these. It deals with the temple during the tribulation. It deals with all those things. Now, look at the first verse of 25. What's the opening verse? Now understand, the discourse is the tribulation, and then he says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. What? Then? We could just as well say it like this. At this time, the kingdom of heaven is going to be like 10 virgins. In other words, before Jesus comes to return to set up his kingdom on the earth, not to take the church, to set up his kingdom on the earth, then at that time, it's going to be like 10 virgins. Then. So when you oftentimes find these people try to use this and say, see, you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not going. And I always take them over there and always stump them, because the people that believe that Jesus is going to take the church before tribulation. And I have to tell them, well, then you're going through the tribulation. Let me show you. Oh, they hate it. Well, I'm sorry, said, you can't preach it both ways. You can't preach it both ways, or you're a liar. So you're going to have to believe you're going to go through the tribulation if that's what it's talking about. I'm not going through the tribulation. I'm going to leave on the first group. Okay, how about you guys? Okay, let's leave. All right. You know, I've had enough tribulation. Glory to God. But I want you to see it, but you need to understand as take people to this. Again, when you have people say things like these, and then to people, man, that hardens people's hearts against stuff. And so people who talk this stuff, you know, the church has to go through tribulation for God to purify it. People say things like that. Oh, we need the devil to purify us. My God, we get to heaven, the devil's going to have to be there. How can we ever stay pure? The devil would have to be there. You know, God's trying to sift us. No, Jesus said the devil will sift you. That's what he told Peter, didn't he? He said, hey, Satan wants to sift you, buddy, but I prayed for you that you'll be all right. Oh, I don't want them guys praying for me, these ones that are tribulating and everything else. Don't pray for me, please. Best just pray for yourself, because you're going to need it. Because you might be here going through the trick. You know, I tell you what, I find no place in Scripture tells you you can believe what you want at any time and then something just works out for you anyhow. I don't believe in this, that every Christian goes, even though if they believe they're going through the tribulation. That doesn't line up with Scripture anywhere. That lines up with Scripture in no place. People say, well, it really don't matter. What do you mean it don't matter? Don't matter what you believe? Who are... You know, I've had ministers say that to me. Well, it really don't matter much how you believe about it. So the Bible talks more about the end times than it does about Jesus dying on the cross. And you're telling me it don't matter how you believe it? Sure seems to matter. Jesus himself said more about end times than he spoke concerning salvation. So it would sure seem to me that would be how we would believe it. God's not trying to cut people out. People who are trying to cut people out, don't pay attention to them, okay? And if anybody comes along to you with questions, just say, they're nuts. But so you can share with people, you know, because, you know, if we want to get people filled with the Holy Ghost, and realize there's people out there that are always trying to do some flaky thing about it. Let's not be part of the flaky thing. Let's be a benefit to people and help to people and that stuff. And, you know, encourage, you know, if we want to minister to somebody who's not filled with the Holy Ghost, who's born again, and we want to get them there, we don't want to do things to discourage them, making, oh, you got to receive the Holy Ghost, or, you know, God's going to get you or something, or, you know, something bad's going to happen, or this and that and the other thing. We don't want to do that. God wants his children to receive the gifts he has for them. And, you know, we want to affirm them in the love of God. We want to affirm to them that they're a Christian. We want to affirm with them. We're not trying to be superior to them. We're trying to get them something better. Hallelujah. And so we definitely want to do that. So we want to walk in the light in these things. One of the things are, you know, one of the things I want to look at tonight, just another thing to quickly look at here. Because people make the statement, say, tongues is not for everybody. And I want to look at that for specifically because they use this. There's a scripture out of the Bible that is used specifically dealing with that. And so you can talk to people because, you know, people I've had, when I came into the kingdom and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, that was one of the things at that time was getting to be a big thing, was they were saying, well, see, tongue, the Bible tells us that tongues is not for everyone. And he had one scripture where they used that from, and so we want to look. We're going to look at that, but that is one of the misconceptions. So we need to see what God has said about it, and it's especially for us in the areas of dealing the areas with tongues, because I guess maybe sometimes people's wrong idea that even sometimes spirit-filled people get concerning tongues. Tongues is not the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It is not the infilling. It's just a manifestation that takes place when you get full of the Holy Ghost. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is just that. It is a being full of the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. And if a person actually gets filled with the Holy Ghost, there is a manifestation that takes place, which is tongues. So really, when a person gets filled with the Holy Ghost, what is it? See, the tongues issue becomes the biggie out there, and it's not. You want to point people to the idea of being filled with the Spirit. That's what it's about. It's about receiving the third individual of the Holy Trinity. That's what you're doing. That's what you want to put the emphasis on with people. This is about you, a person, an individual, receiving the Holy Spirit, who is, you know, a part of the Holy Trinity. He's the one that's in the earth that represents and manifests Jesus Christ in the earth. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, we speak in other tongues. But tongues, that part of it comes because of receiving the Holy Spirit. It's about receiving the Holy Spirit. So we had looked and found that in scriptures, we had looked at five different instances where we studied where people were filled with the Holy Ghost, and we saw that every time people spoke in tongues. And there are the five references in the Bible in the New Testament of people being filled with the Spirit. And so, but they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's one of the things is we want to emphasize. It's not about everybody gets all focused on the tongues part. Tongues is a wonderful thing, but if you don't get the Holy Ghost, you don't, you know, the tongue thing, who cares? You want to get the Holy Ghost. That's what you want. Hallelujah. That's the biggie. You get the Holy Ghost, and between the tongues and the Holy Ghost, you got something. Hallelujah. But you want to keep it focused. So if I know this, we always want to stay with the New Testament. So if a person tells me they got filled with the Holy Ghost, they didn't speak in tongues, I have this choice. I could either believe what the Bible says, or I can, you know, well, okay, I guess, you know. A lot of people out there believe that, you know, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's one of the big things that the churches have started to preach. These churches that have come along out of the Spirit-filled churches, especially, that have gone into this, a lot of stuff today where they're seeker-friendly now and all that stuff. They tell people now you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't have to speak in tongues. You can be full of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm sorry, it's unscriptural. There's no scriptural basis for that. And they do that to please people. I don't want to, you know, and I fight with people about it, but I'm sorry. I'm going to stay with what the New Testament says. One of the things that they do in teaching this thing, because they use from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And in verses, they go down to verse 20. Now, I want to read 29 and 30 to you. And there's a question they ask here, the Apostle Paul, speaking in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He said, are you all apostles in verse 29? Are you all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And see, he asked this question. And see, people look and say, see, everybody's not a prophet. Everybody's not the apostle. Not everybody speaks in tongues. And they put that out there. And you need to understand this is what these scriptures are talking about. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians is talking about ministry gifts. It starts talking in the beginning where we read already tonight the gifts of the Spirit. They are ministry gifts. the Bible verse, we go over to the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians, Paul talks about ministry gifts over there. Ministry gifts, he talks about the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. They're ministry gifts. He puts them into this chapter. Why? Because within the Bible, people are called to these things. He puts down here the different ones. He talks about healing and different things. These are ministry gifts. These are gifts of the Spirit. This is not speaking about tongues when you got filled with the Holy Ghost. This is the ministry gift of tongues, where you operate in tongues and there's interpretation of tongues. That is a ministry gift. That is not what you got when you got born, when you got filled with the Holy Ghost. This is talking specifically. The 12th chapter talks about the body and how the body is, you know, all one body, but everybody has different gifts and we all have different parts. And this is not speaking at all about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. Yet, if you are not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you won't operate in these. Oh, you can go over, you can be called to an office and things and stuff like that. But the gifts of the Spirit operate through Spirit-filled Christians. That's what they operate through. So tongues interpretation, they operate through there. And this is what you know. See, people take this scripture and they take it out of context. This is speaking about ministry gifts. Surely not everybody's an apostle. Not everybody's a prophet. Not everybody operates in gifts of healings. That's true. But everybody doesn't operate in tongues with tongues and for tongues and interpretation. Not everybody operates in that. But any believer can be filled with the Holy Ghost. We found, it would have been interesting because when we looked at the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts and we looked at the five instances and all those people always got spoken tongues. So I guess they were all called to those, you know, they were called to those ministry gifts, but today they don't. I mean, like, come on. So, we want to stay in line with the Word of God. Now, because if you read these in its context, if you start at verse 27, it says this. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, secondary prophets, 30 teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various tongues." Then he said, "Are all apostles, are all prophets." See, he's talking about ministry gifts. He's talking about the ministry gifts operating within the church. It says, this isn't talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. He's like Kenneth Hagin used to always say, you can take a pull of scripture out of the Bible and make it say anything you want. And that's why, as you look at them in their context, and you can see in its context what it's actually talking about. This, the 12th chapter, is talking about ministry gifts. That's what the whole thing's about. It's about gifts of the Spirit and operate. It's about the body. All of us have giftings and manifestations of God through us. And that is not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you look over, as I said before, in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in verse 11, it said there, he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So he gave those gifts. And so those gifts, we see Paul reference them here into the areas where he puts ministry gifts. This is all ministry gifts things. And we had read the before what the gifts of the Spirit were in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and verses 8 through 12 tell you what those gifts of the Spirit are, those manifestations that operate through individual believers. These are gifts that operate. Tongues that a individual speaks when he's filled with the Holy Ghost is not a ministry gift. That your tongue that you got when you baptize the Holy Ghost is for your personal edification. That's what it's for. It's to build you up on your most holy faith, praying the Holy Ghost. Now think about it. If it operated as a, like the ministry gift, like it does what there's talking about here in 1 Corinthians 12, then that means you could only pray in tongues as the Spirit wills. In other words, you could only edify yourself if that gift would come on you. Lord, I'd hate to have that. I don't know about you. So we need to when people come along with these things and that stuff, we need to have an answer for them, because most of the time that people believe along these lines and they've been taught along these lines is they really have never had any really direct teaching on it. They've even heard minister from a pulpit say, see, you know, they'll read that scripture, just say, that's it. Just throw it over there. They don't really go into teaching on things and stuff. What they're doing is they're trying to get away from it. Oh, see, we got. So in other words, we got our whole church sits here, and nobody got that gift. Well, now I could imagine a church would not. No church would have that gift in operation. Wouldn't he think that his church something's wrong with it? Not everybody's supposed to have it, and our entire church don't. And really, what they're trying to do is get away from it. And really, it comes down to ignorance. People just don't know. But I just encourage you in these things so far we're talking about tonight. We're going to end here. But is to, in these things that I'm talking about here, so you know and you can talk to people, because people, you're going to, I saw this, the more the Holy Spirit moved during back through the charismatic renewal, the more questions you started seeing arise and more people have. And during the time that I was in the charismatic renewal and that stuff, and things were going on, there was a lot of ignorance about stuff. And people really didn't have answers for a lot of things, because a lot of people just, they weren't taught well. And they weren't, because they were just coming, they're coming out of all kind of denominations, at all kind of churches, getting full of the Holy Ghost and, you know, God moving. And a lot of people, there wasn't a lot of really great teaching. There was all kinds of, there was a lot of flaky teaching and stuff going on. People didn't know. And so, but people had questions, and that's how a lot of this doctrinal stuff started off. And then after a while, people were, you know, well, you know, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost, and you don't have to speak in other tongues, and all this stuff. And I started watching people. I'd ask the church that I used to was in. They used to use me all the time for ministering to people in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When I first started, I was a young Christian, because I was taught by Kenneth Hagin. You know, you don't, because to me it was easy to get people filled with the Holy Ghost, because everybody I watched mostly that tried to get people filled with the Holy Ghost was trying to get that person to believe God would give it to them, and they're trying to get God to give them the Holy Ghost. And when I come along and talk to them and say, you know, God already gave the Holy Ghost, you got to receive it. This is all you got to do. And just tell them that, I get people filled with the Holy Ghost real quick. You just get people filled with the Holy Ghost to drop. It was so easy to do, because hey, no, God already gave you the Holy Ghost. Are you going to receive it? Are you going to take it? Or are you going to sit here and try to wait for it or something? And, you know, they were taught wrong. They thought, you know, people were taught that, you know, Holy Ghost would come on you. And, you know, the Holy Ghost, people basically thought that God, the Holy Ghost talked in tongues. And I tell you, Holy Ghost, you're going to talk in tongues. You do. The Holy Ghost ain't going to make you do it. I mean, you can stand here and you can just, you know, do whatever. And the Holy, you may never say a thing in tongues. That may never happen. Because, you know, if you're waiting for the Holy Ghost to do it, that isn't how it works. And you'd show them from the Scriptures. And I thought it was so easy to get people filled with the Holy Ghost. You could just, it's an easy thing to do. I mean, I hadn't had training per se in it. I just listened to teaching of Kenneth E. Hagin, and I watched these people. I used to laugh but you'd always get these people who could not get people filled with the Holy Ghost. And so what happens is they get over and they, you know, they'd say, well, you know, because I mean, at times, I mean, I know this. I would lay hands on people. Sometimes the power of God would come on me, and I know the Holy Ghost went on the person, but the person never received it. Just because power came on them and they felt power, that don't mean you got filled. That don't mean you got nothing. I've laid hands on loads of people, had the power of God go out, healing power of God go out of me and go to them. They felt it and everything, but I knew this. I knew they didn't get healed because they didn't receive it. I can tell. I can tell if power flows out of me. Power can come up out of me to hit you and knock you down, but if you don't receive it, I can tell if you receive it or not when it's operating through me. I can tell if it flows through me. I could tell you, just like if I took a bare electric wire, put it in that wall, I could tell you when I hang on to that thing whether that electric's going through me or not. And I could tell if I walked over here and I grabbed Kurt like this, I could feel that electricity go through me into him. And the power of God's exactly the same way. I can tell you if a person receives the power or not. Just because somebody felt something didn't mean they got a thing. And see, what happens is they minister to people and they know the power of God come on them. The person didn't respond. Why? They didn't get filled. And they'll say, oh, well, you got it. You just didn't speak in tongues yet. You just set that person up to never get filled with the Holy Ghost. Because they'll walk around. Why are you going to have to worry about it? Why would you try to change anything? You're already full. That's what they were told. I just didn't get my language yet. No, you didn't get filled yet. If you'd have got full, you'd have had a language. That's the way it works. But see, people get over there and it'll be discouraging to someone. The worst thing you can do is lie to somebody. Say, well, it'll hurt their feelings. If they're that touchy, they need to get saved and get a new life. I'm sorry, because you got to tell people the truth. Don't ever leave a person believing they have something when you know they don't. If they didn't receive it, don't try to say they did. If a person says, "But I don't know if they got it or not," I'll just say to them, "Well, you didn't. I know they didn't, because if they didn't know, then they didn't get it." Let's get real. I've heard people try to convince somebody they got something and the person didn't believe it. Why would you try to convince them they got it? They don't believe it. They ain't got it anyhow. Oh. But we're trying to we're trying to figure out. And that's why there gets to be so many weird doctrines and things out here. Stick with the Bible. Just be honest to people, you know. You get full of the Holy Ghost, you'll speak in other tongues. That's the way it works. If you don't, I have no other thing in the Bible shows any different. I don't have in the Bible where they told somebody, you got filled with the Holy, don't worry about it, you don't need to speak in tongues. You can have it without it. Well, it doesn't work that way. Praise God. Let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you tonight, Lord God, for helping us again in the Word. Lord God, I want to thank you so much for just opening up the Word, Lord God, to us. Lord God, giving us wisdom and understanding. Father God, so we can walk in the light as you're in the light. Because Lord God, we want to have fellowship with each other, but we want to have fellowship and walk in fellowship with you. And Father, I just want to thank you so much, Father God, for the life that you've given us through Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit, the most wonderful gift that you gave to the church. Thank you so much. Father, it is so wonderful to be full of the Holy Ghost. And Lord God, have the Spirit of God in us, guiding us and directing us, giving us light and understanding, not just for us, so we can help others and minister others. And Father, in our life, of all that we do, we want to glorify Jesus Christ, magnify Jesus. We want Jesus to be able to operate and move through us to bless others. Hallelujah, because we're so blessed. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.